You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the MLS final. The MLS is back final, okay? Now the MLS is back, and now the MLS is back. And we're going to talk about the return of the season as well. NWSL news and a little bit of just other general news in soccer.
That's right. And we're going to talk to Gianluca Busio. And what's up with his passport? Why is Taylor 12 making it so hot?
Okay. A lot of drama.
That right, and so more today on the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Let's go. Let's do this. Come on. What's going on? Look at this. I'm wearing an MLS shirt. You're wearing a USL shirt, an old-timey USL shirt.
Old-timey don't exist no more.
Okay. We are excited to be here. Thank you so much for joining us. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television.
That's right, and it also happens to be the gulliest, and it's not just that. It's also Landon Donovan's favorite.
Okay, we've gotten that confirmation. That's right. All
right,
look, you know, we won him over, and all
that's
of a
right.
sudden, you know, he is. We are now his favorite television program.
Yep.
We bumped Grey's Anatomy,
okay.
So I'm excited.
Sorry, friends. You're now down to third.
Okay, we were behind La Rosa de Guadalupe,
but we done moved up.
We moved up, okay? You know,
it was look, I'm not gonna lie to you, some of it was on goal differential, right? But still, all that counts is the W.
Yes, we I don't know if you know that. You know, Landon Donovan loves telenovelas.
Yes, he's like Maria, Pedro, Landon.
What's good, everybody? Did you enjoy the MLS is back final? If you are a Portland Timbers fan, I am very sure you did. If you are a Orlando City fan, you may not have.
Yeah. I feel bad. One of our friends, one of our fans, lives in England. Stayed up, got up at 2:30 in the morning, or stayed up. I'm not sure. 2:30 in the morning to watch that match. The man ruined his week for Orlando.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, after that, your sleep cycle's ruined for the week.
Without, you know, his friends are like, "Nah, mate, you gotta stop with the MLS, mate. You can't do it, mate.
You're destroying your family. You know,
nah, mate. You know, you don't get your sleep back, mate." You can't catch up on sleep. I'm not sure what region my accent started and moved to. Let us know in the chat. I don't think there is a chat, but let us know.
Yeah. It was like Newcastle, and then all of a sudden it became like New Jersey.
Yeah,
you know?
Yo, I stays new though.
No, but let's talk about the final. Obviously, Portland Timbers win 2-1. Final match of the MLS is back tournament. I mean, we saw the celebrations. We saw everything. I mean,
it clearly meant something.
It did.
Like,
you know,
we've had this conversation. I don't know that we figured it out. What does this mean? What does this trophy mean?
Yeah.
They're talking about continuing.
MLS is back and life. You ask the same questions. What does it all mean?
What does it mean, dude? Like, why are we on this rock called Orlando right now? What? Honestly, like, this isn't an MLS Cup, right?
No.
Like Bobby Boswell put out a tweet, said, if Portland adds a star to the top of their crest for this, how would you feel? You can't do that.
No,
right?
That's a lot. That's
you
a
can add
much.
An asterisk. That'd be dope.
There was some people were suggesting putting the COVID virus as next to the timber stuff.
Or that little like fallout shelter thingy, like the warning.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. Like, I doubt they'll ever do something like for NWSL. The Challenge Cup was essentially their championship for that season.
Exactly.
So fair if Houston Dash want to add a star. Absolutely fair. In fact, I applaud them if they do. Portland can't do that. So what does this mean? I don't know, but watching it, they seemed excited. Their fans seemed excited. Our fans from Portland seemed drunk. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, I looked. The game itself, as far as look, let's at least. I know Orlando City fans, it's definitely, you know, bitter, right? And it's not even about bittersweet because they've experienced just bitterness the last 5 years. And to see them turn things around and play this well, it was like we can't believe that this is happening, right? Like, how are we?
No one believed in them until the final.
Yeah.
And then they lost.
Not only are they winning games, you know, but then they were winning in dramatic fashion. You know, those late winners, winning in penalties, that takes a lot of, like, just mental strength that, you know, they really did not have in the previous 4 years. They were losing games late all the time, couldn't just stick it out and win matches, even with their big players. So
it's 100% a winning mentality, and it's something that it seems like Nani, you know, won the Euros, you know, has played on big clubs. It's something that feels like Nani has sort of been able to infiltrate, right? Oscar Pereja has changed the mentality of the club from underdog to, if you just keep your head in it and you can win. The shame is, it's like in the final, which if Orlando wins, everyone else was going to say, like, this doesn't matter. It's a competition. That's not going to ever happen again. So, but still, there was something about getting them over that hump. But I still feel, and if you're an Orlando fan, I get it. You're not excited about the fact that you lost, more of the same. But the perception of your club has changed, right? If you're not an Orlando fan, you no longer see Orlando as, oh, that's an easy week, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not the same. Orlando's different, especially if you're an Atlanta fan, right?
Yeah.
Orlando's not easy to beat up anymore. Yo, Orlando came back to school this year a bit swole. You know? We can't pick on them as easily.
Oh, you got new sneakers. Damn, bro.
Like, okay. You
know, back to school day.
I mean, honestly, normally I would make fun of you, but, like, where'd you get those, right? Like, as opposed to what are those?
Okay. You've been shopping at Jimmy Jazz. Okay.
Damn, son, you got Dr. J on deck.
All right, we're going to hit you with the wild Brooklyn references.
Hell yeah.
There's only six
North.
People going to get this.
Our Dr. J's was wild. The back door was bigger than the front door at Dr. J's, if you know what I'm talking about. Shouts to all my friends and cousins that worked there.
No, but Nani, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he was pretty much saying how, like,
you said it. How do you not have a quote in front of you? You don't remember saying it, Nani?
You know what? I have a really poor memory. I think my brain is going. I don't know what to tell you. No, but he had mentioned that that he was like, you know, this team it's a different team. You saw how we played. You saw how teams played against us, and it was different. And honestly, it was a rough bounce, right? Like when we were talking to Landon Donovan, he had mentioned about that the level between, you know, the U.S. and these other countries is large, but the difference between, you know, Spain, Portugal, England, or whatever is just like one bad bounce, and all of a sudden, you know, you're out of the tournament. And I feel like that's what happened to Orlando. It's just like,
I disagree. I think in order for Orlando to have won, especially against a team that A, is clearly prepared for these moments and sits back and waits for you to make a mistake, I think a lot of this falls on the players that needed to step up and didn't. The first name that comes to mind is Chris Mueller. You know, it seemed like when the ball got to his feet, I don't know if the pressure got to him or it was just a bad game and it just happened to have come on a final. Clearly an incredible player. I don't mean to pile on him. He probably feels worse than anyone feels about him, unless you're probably the guy who stayed up at 2:30 in the morning to watch the match. Shouts to you, Andrew. Honestly, in those moments, it's like, you can't, it's a final. You can't have a bad game. And he did. And he's not the only one, right? There was really silly fouls. There was really sort of just the team as a whole started to crack a bit. As opposed to Ben, they started to break a little bit where they hadn't in the past. But all credit goes to Portland, which literally seems like they played the exact same match over and over and over again on the way to the final. It didn't matter what you were going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Chara's going to rough you up a little bit. You know what I mean? And we're going to try to score when we can.
They were consistent. I think, you know, obviously the winning the tournament for for the Timbers meant something, and it was significant. Yeah. But there's no denying that if Orlando won, it would have meant more to that team. I think the underdog story, and it wasn't like, you know, the Timbers have just been dominant forever, but like they have nothing. You know what I mean?
But it was good for Gio Severacy to win. I felt good.
Yeah. Look, the season is coming right back. Today we are recording before the match between Dallas and Nashville, but obviously right back at it, regular season, home markets. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we're all concerned and worried, excited to have the season back again. So let's talk about the MLS season resuming. It is already happened by the time you are watching this. So
there was no relaxation after a championship parade. Nope. Get back in your locker rooms, boys.
Yeah, I think originally it was probably, you know, after the tournament, I think the plan was probably to have like 4 or 5 days, and then come back on the weekend. But no, because of, Dallas and Nashville having to be removed from the tournament due to positive COVID tests, they are just playing. They played yesterday, right? So yeah. we don't know the result yet because we were taping before that. But the main concern, especially with FC Dallas, is that they will have up to 5,110 fans at the stadium. They will enforce social distancing. They will require a mask. People still think that, especially with Texas, that this is not the right move. It doesn't feel like the right move.
The numbers are starting to sort of settle a bit in Texas. They've been working really hard on not, you know, continuing to be the epicenter or like getting to that point. Mm-hmm. This just seems a little too soon. You know what I mean? It's just like, I get that you can have 5,000, but just because you can, you can say whatever you want to your girl, but should you? You know what I mean? Especially if she just finished being that mad at you. You know what I mean? Like, should you? You know, now's not the time to bring up the plates, my guy. You know, let it go. You go do the plates. You know, like this kind of feels like this. It's like, you know, it's a lot of it is like, well, the government says we can, or what if we do social distancing? What I mean, waiting for the bathroom line.
We're gonna trust the government right now.
Family.
With how they've handled everything.
Fam, just go wash the plates. Honestly.
No, man. We've said it a bunch of times. Like, obviously, we just hope all the players are safe, the fans are safe, the staff, everybody involved. And look, we know the staff at FC Dallas. They've shown us a lot of love. Obviously, they're taking it seriously and will not try to be, they're not going to be reckless per se, but it just doesn't make too much sense. It just doesn't feel necessary. And when it comes to the, we talk about setting an example from people in leadership, this feels like not a good example. You know, it may not be necessarily detrimental and you can avoid spreading the infection and all this other stuff. But again, it just doesn't feel like a great example for MLS to be setting to begin with. But again, just hoping nothing happens.
We do want to reiterate, that there's other things that shouldn't be open. There's other things that are open that should be closed, theme parks, stuff like that are trying to do this stuff. It's like everybody just chill and wait until this is completely done. But it's already happened. But hope everyone is safe. That's all that matters, is that the safety of everyone, from players to, the person checking your ticket, everyone in between there.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's things are starting back up. Obviously, FC Dallas and Nashville will have play each other twice. Those will be the first two games returning. But on the 20th is like sort of when things get back to normal, and all the other teams that were in the bubble will start playing again. And NYCFC is Hudson River Derby. An entertaining match to start the regular season back up per se.
And people are like, oh, but there's not going to be fans. Don't worry, the teams don't like each other. There's going to be enough animosity. Don't worry about it.
And the fact that Rebel Arena will be housing every team.
It's now an Airbnb. Did you see that? there's a team from Toronto coming down. This NYC. Yes.
So New York Red Bulls will be playing at Rebel Arena. New York City Football Club will be playing at Rebel Arena. Toronto FC will be playing Red Bull Arena, and now Montreal Impact will be playing at Red Bull Arena. And,
so shouts to the grounds crew, because
they're going to be at, they're going to need full capacity to fix the pitch. You know, they were concerned over like Sky Blue playing.
We got a lot happening on this pitch. So, and hurry up because the fair's coming to town, you know, it's like the next thing.
So it is going to be interesting. Obviously, those matches, but you know, the 20th, the 21st, that weekend, I think we're all going to be watching these games. Like, you know, we see what the Major League Baseball is going through with, you know, the Marlins having to postpone games and things like that. We're hoping it's not the same, but you know,
but they were really good about the bubble, so maybe MLS is sort of prepared for this. Their planning seems to be on point.
They're giving direction to all the players, like, yo, we understand you're back home, but like, there's a lot of that.
Your homie, FaceTime with your homie. You don't need to go to a bar with your homie. All right,
exactly.
And by the way, don't forget, we got Gianluca Busio coming up after this segment, which is a wild, great, great player. I'm excited. Christian isn't, but I am. No, I'm joking with you.
speaking what of excited, I have Gianluca Busio's hair.
That's like, right. We got to get you the golden frosted tips, just like Gianluca Busio.
We got to. Fubo. Yeah.
Come on, Fubo.
Where's the budget for the...
Give him some sun in. What's that, $3.99 at a Dwayne Reed? You can't look that up. Speaking of, big moves, like you getting them frosted tips, Sam Uys is going to Manchester City, already announced. I believe she's there either this week or next week. She's officially there, which seems to sort of be the sort of the first chip to fall in a tide of U.S. women's national team players or just big NWSL names going over to some big names in Europe. And I mean, a lot of people are really excited about this, but some people are not as much, partially because I think maybe this is kind of the end of national team players feeling the need to be on NWSL clubs. What do you think?
I don't think that. I think especially women's national team players, or really any NWSL player, is going to go somewhere where soccer is being played. Right? The United States.
Right. But this is a permanent deal. This isn't just like an NWSL offseason move.
No, I know that. But obviously she's leaving the Courage, but who knows for how long? It could be just, I don't know how long the deal is for. Is it longer than a year? I'm not exactly sure because I haven't seen the details. But
you're asking me for facts? I mean, come on, Christian. Do you remember who I am?
I'm pretty sure I think it's more of a temporary plan to just really just play, but I think it's obvious that the NWSL is a stronger league than the women's league in England. So I don't think it's anything necessarily. I don't think it's a trend starting. I think this is for the next year, maybe the beginning of the next NWSL season. There might be some big name players that we don't see, but this is a solution to the problem of the Challenge Cup is over. I need to play soccer somewhere. Manchester City is a big club.
If they're tossing the bag, go get that bag, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's what you're going to do. But I do think it's a little scary. Maybe not as bad as if this happened a year or two ago, right? Because if national team players leave NWSL 2 years ago, that's bad for NWSL. But we just saw Houston Dash, which have no national team players on it, women's national team players.
Obviously, Kristen Press is on the team, but she did not play in the Challenge Cup.
No, she isn't. She's on Utah, isn't she?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I got confused. Sorry.
Yeah, so there's no U.S. women's national team players on Houston Dash. So, and they won, and they won handily, right? So maybe this is a sign that there's just more talent available, and there's a way there's a way to win without previously needing, you know, national team players. The big issue is marketing, right? Those national team players do put people in the seats, right? I mean, they're just big names. They're big names in a general sense, right? So when fans do come back, you're going to want national team players.
Well, we should clarify. They do have national team, not U.S. women's national team.
I said
team players.
Not U.S. national team.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying it shows but that is also a good sign that the other teams, the other countries' national team players playing in NWSL has clearly raise the level of the NWSL.
Absolutely.
Right? It's difficult to just simply say kind of the broad statement of like, oh, you don't need U.S. Women's National Team players and you can win, when the Challenge Cup also was missing a lot of U.S. Women's National Team players on their team. So it was like the Thorns didn't necessarily have their strongest squad available to kind of judge per se and kind of make that statement.
Look, what I'm trying to say is call up Shea Groom. That's what we're trying to say here.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. We just have to start a campaign. Blacko, do the right thing.
Let's go.
All right. We have Gianluca Busio, midfielder for Sporting Kansas City, coming up next. Come right back.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. You being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right. Thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said, we don't care about the quarantine. You know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you. And then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
Yeah. We break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Uh-huh. Right? Where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we're going to get there.
Okay. We're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road, people sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine, people sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel, from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
There's a few. There's almost like, I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. Hi, baby. We back on a Cooligans Living Room FC. And this is what we do, yo. We just like, we're like a revolving door of stars. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, dude. Just in and out. All right. We take your gift bag and get out of here.
Yo, Beckham, keep it moving. We got other people. You know what I mean? This is what we do. Landon Donovan, thank you, but your time is up. We got other people.
Okay. I mean, the future. We got to allow the future to come through.
100%. And this next person, I mean, talk about the future, right? I mean, this dude's got a very bright future. And if you listen to Taylor Twellman, he's going to have a lot of airline points coming up. You know what I mean? Doing my hit platinum on Delta. You know what I mean? This dude just absolutely shows up every time, big time. And I can't believe how young this dude is, because he plays like a big man. This dude absolutely special. We've actually talked to him once before. It was literally just before the world ended. So it's nice to talk to him now. Post-bubble, ladies and gentlemen, from your Sporting Kansas City, the one, the only, put your hands together unless you're driving, for Gianluca Busio!
What's good, brother?
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Good to be back with you guys and talking to you guys.
Cheers,
again.
Man. So, look, real quick, let's talk about how the bubble was for you. How was the MLS is Back tournament? Obviously, unfortunately, it didn't end the way Sporting Kansas City would have wanted. But what was your experience like? Being secluded that way, and then being solely focused on that tournament.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I guess some people would say. I enjoyed it. For me, I'm not really leaving a family behind or anything like that. So I was kind of just back to my academy days. I was with the other younger guys, and we played video games in a hotel room for a month. So I enjoyed that part, but it's difficult, trying to, you're in one spot for, about a month, and you're playing games every 5 days. So that was definitely hard to get used to. But I think we had a good, decent tournament. Obviously we wanted to make it further, but the first three games counted towards the regular season, so that was pretty big that we got two wins out of that. And hopefully when the season's starting back up, we can stay on the top.
The season's starting back up pretty soon. I mean, how are things looking? Are you excited? I know it's a little different when you're in the bubble team, like everything is planned for you. Are you waking up like, yo, what time is breakfast? Oh wait, I gotta make this myself.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Just playing and maybe it won't be a full stadium, but just playing in other team stadiums and even at home. And you get to do your own routine. You don't have to, be in a bubble and wake up from your hotel room. It's your own bed. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. And hopefully it'll get somewhat back to normal.
How were those? You played in the 9 a.m. game, right? I think you played in one. What was that routine like? Getting up that early before the sun is even out.
That was difficult. I think it wasn't as bad for us because we had training in the morning every day, so we were waking up that early. But we were waking up at like 6 on game day, and team meal at 6:30. So that was something that everybody was used to. But you got your coffee or whatever you needed to get up. And by 9 a.m. it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as hot as the other day, so that was pretty good. But the morning games was just difficult to get up for.
Dude, for us, it's like we're stand-up comics. Sometimes like the network will be like, all right, let's do this shoot early. I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys at noon. That's early for us. I guess I gotta wake up early, see what the real people do in this world. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to be wake up so early but then be ready to play a competitive match at 9 a.m
You guys handled it as well as you could, especially
for sure.
those group stage matches. But I'm curious how one of the things that was fascinating about the MLS is Back tournament was obviously no fans, but also depending on the channel you watch, it was no crowd noise. And
and they put mics everywhere.
They put mics everywhere, right? And your coach, all right, Peter Vermees is quite the vocal human being. I'm curious about what is it? I mean, look, we know
did
that
he think the games were like on HBO, because my homie went like, y'all, I hope y'all complete this out.
No, I'm just curious about, like, I know that he is he could be a tough coach, which is necessary in whatever circumstance, but the feeling, especially after the loss to Philadelphia, he was really mad. He made it really clear that he was really, really not happy with the team's performance. How does that is that a thing that that you appreciate the coaches like taking responsibility and that can express that? Or is it like, yo, chill, man, we tried our best,
Nah, definitely with him. I think especially me, I've been around him for about 3 or 4 years now, and I know it's not him trying to act out or anything. It's not him trying to be extra. That's how he is. He wants things done, the right way, and he wants to win, and he's going to yell at you. He's going to be intense. And at first it takes a little getting used to, kind of, you're like, dude, why you got to be so mean? But after the year, it helps you a lot. He brings out the best in you. And even if that is getting on you, and if you're doing things well, he'll tell you you're doing well, but he wants everything as close to perfect as possible. And as you can see, he's very animated about that. And, he's very open. He won't shy away from anything, and he's an honest guy. And I think that's a good quality for a coach, that he'll tell you when you're not doing things right, and you know, hopefully it motivates a player to
yeah, you said it. You've known him for like a long time. Like, you're practically a veteran now and you're 18 years old. Like, when a new player who's 30 years old come in, you'd be like, get in here, young buck. Let me show you how this works. If you hit the vending machine right here, you get an extra bag of Doritos. Like, you got like, you're like an old veteran at 18.
Yeah, I've definitely been, but now I'm still treated like the
yeah.
Like, I mean, I am 18, so I don't really have veteranship yeah. over anybody.
I mean, right, you signed now with the team when you were 16. It is pretty wild because I think in honestly, just from last year to this year, I don't know what the training regimen has been. I don't know if we hit a growth spurt, but I'm like, yo, Gianluca, this dude's a unit out there. He's a unit in the midfield.
My guy put in weight.
I think quarantine helped with okay. that a little bit. Got time to yourself to work out and especially eat my mom's food. That'll get me a little.
Yeah, I think your quarantine was drastically different than my quarantine. I was not trying to work out. You're like, you seem to have gotten bigger in the waist area. Gianluca built the shoulders though.
One other thing that was that, you know, we teased it in the beginning when Alexis introduced you, but during the broadcast, especially the ESPN broadcast, Taylor Twellman kept bringing up this rumored move to Fiorentina, and there's an offer on the table, and there's all this other stuff. How does that affect, or not even how it affects you, but how does that feel being a young player in Major League Soccer, yeah. and people on TV are talking about, like, yo, they want you out in Europe?
Yeah, I think that's pretty special. You know, as a young player, especially, you know, growing up, you're watching, you know, Premier League games and Serie A games, and you're thinking that that's your goal for the, and that's, and in the end, that's my goal, is to play in Europe at some point. So knowing that, you know, you're playing well enough to even bring that attraction, just to say that they're interested to you in you, is it's pretty cool for me, especially with a guy like me who has, you know, big dreams to make it far. So that's pretty special. And obviously I try not to think about it that much, you know, when I'm playing for Sporting right now, and you know, forever long, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm trying to focus on that and hopefully play more and more and better so I can, you know, maybe raise a transfer fee or, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. You never know what can happen. So right now I'm just focused on Sporting, but it's also in the
yeah, you're going to play so well where it's like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that Mbappe money, right? How many curlers you got to send in top bins to get that 100 million? You know, I wanted that Jadon Sancho money. We were actually talking about it a little bit, right? And of course, there's like a lot of things that you know, you kind of got to say, right? Like, but I'm sure at the end of the day, just having someone be interested in you, whether it's Europe or just in another country or in another league, that's got to feel good. But also, you have a really strong connection to Italy, besides the name, which sounds like you own a deli in New York. I mean, Gianluca Busio sounds like you're just throwing gabagool at people. You know? It's a beautiful name. But your father is from Italy. He's Italian born, and you hold Italian citizenship, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I do. Yes, I got it a couple years ago.
Okay, good. Prepare it.
I got it at first for mainly vacations, but now it's.
Yeah.
Come on, yo. You don't need no passport from here to go on vacation, but I respect it. But like when you look at something like whether it's Serie A or it's Premier League, right? When you started out playing in North Carolina and you look at how different MLS plays from other leagues and how different they train in the US and the national team, what specifically do you think prepared you for that? Because you've had some major steps, right? You went national team, obviously developed in North Carolina, then going through the Sporting system. What exactly do you think helped you the most that prepared you for Europe?
Obviously, I think Sporting is doing a great job of me now to prepare me for that. It's a professional team. They're very professional in everything. You know, you have to be responsible and, you know, basically, you know, I'm being treated as an adult. And that's what in Europe, I bet it's going to be a lot of responsibility. And you have to, you know, kind of take care of yourself and fend for yourself if you really want to make it. And I think, I mean, growing up, it's always been like that for my family. They've pushed me to try to do the best I can. And, you know, they're not going to babe me through anything. You know, if I want something, it's up to me to go get it. And I think my family did a good job with that. And I think that's why I chose Sporting to move from North Carolina, just because they kind of built that, you know, around that to build you up to be professional at such a young age and, you know, teach you to be mature. And I think in Europe, all that's going to come in handy. So, you know, in the end, all you have to focus about is playing well in soccer. And eventually.
Yeah, we went to Swope Park to the training center a couple years ago. We were on a tour, and we did one of the stops was in Kansas City. You guys had a U.S. Open Cup match the day of our show. That we did a live show, so like nobody came, right? All the they were at the game, right? Yeah. So it was like frustrating. we just scheduled it. We were like, you know, we don't obviously you never wish a team to lose, but I'm like, damn, why they had to be in the U.S. Open Cup the same day?
Only they play worse.
But we went to the training ground, and we met a couple of the academy players, like who I think one just signed, Kave Rad, and his brother, the twin,
Yeah.
And we played mm-hmm. Fuchi. You know that game Fuchi, which basically it's like soccer tennis, but against the net. Played against them.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who won? Your boy.
He literally said all of that to tell you he won, by the way.
Yes, but you know, but to compliment them, I'm like, you know what? These are academy kids. They're young, but they were quite professional. Even in their loss to a trash soccer player like me. So feel pretty good.
I will also say, like, we did like a sketch where I did some tactical stuff. Like I gave them some like advice offensively, which clearly I don't know what I'm doing. I told at one point I think I told them to try kissing the neck of the opposing player, that would throw them off. Okay, so like clearly I don't know what I'm doing, right? Like it was supposed to be a joke. And they sat there like, okay. Like I was the least mature person there. So to give you and Swope Park and all of the Kansas City system credit, yeah. I walk in, I'm the least professional and mature person across the board.
Yeah, I can't imagine Alexis trying to have that same conversation with Vermees. It would be a nightmare. He would not tolerate it even a little bit.
No, he would kick me out instantly. He'd be like, security. When you look at a sort of the type of player that you are in the national team system, there seems to be a flood of youth coming into the national team system. Where do you think you are right now within the national team makeup? And where do you see yourself fitting in with some of these younger players that are now becoming standard, like stable players?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of youth coming up right now, and not just in the MLS. There's a bunch in Europe too. And I think it's pretty cool to be a part of that group, or just to be in the you know, the same category as that group. You know, we're gonna, you know, try to change the, you know, American soccer, and that's pretty special to be a part of that. And you know, more and more, I mean, younger guys are coming up, so that's good. And I think the guys now are for here to model, you know, for the younger guys also. So it's pretty cool. And I mean, I've grown up with a lot of these guys who are, you know, being the big names now, I guess, for the young guys. And, you know, I've been playing with them for a bunch of years now. So, you know, I love seeing, you know, all the guys, especially the younger guys doing big things in Europe and MLS. And, you know, hopefully I can, you know, still be a part of the group, and we can all make the jump to the national team.
Well, who is I know a lot of the youth national team players obviously stay in touch and are pretty close, and even when they make it to the senior team. Is anyone that you're closest to that, you know, is in the same group as you? Anybody maybe either playing in Europe or here?
Yeah. Well, obviously my team was, or that I'm still probably my closest friend on the team, the O2 team, was probably either Jordan Bello from Atlanta, Joe Scally, he's going to Germany actually this year, and obviously Gio was Gio Reyna. We were pretty close. So yeah, I mean, I always stay in touch with them. Those are probably the three main ones, but we all that whole team stays in touch. But
how's Joe's German coming along? Yes, so you're going to
he's going from a New York accent to a team called Mönchengladbach. He's gonna be spitting a lot trying to say them words, man. A lot of saliva collecting on the edges. Yeah. When you were playing incredibly well in the bubble, and I'm assuming, you know, we saw Berhalter just hanging out, taking a lot of notes. Did you maybe have a conversation with Coach Greg?
Yeah, I don't think about thinking, but we definitely had a casual conversation in the hotel. We were, you know, crossing paths, and yeah, I was just, you know, talking about the games and stuff, and hopefully, you know, in the end, like I said, I want to play for the national team, and it's pretty cool to be, you know, casually speaking with the guy who can make that come true. So Yeah, it was pretty cool, and you know, it was just good to talk to him, and it's pretty cool that he, you know,
you didn't be like, "Yo, give me your number, I'll drop you a link to my mixtape." It's mostly highlights, but you know, maybe.
Okay, but it's gonna be over techno music. You know how it is.
It's YouTube shit, right?
It's a standard. It's a standard.
We gotta do it.
No, it's good. It is good to see. Obviously, you know, as to seeing you excel and seeing you look. Like I was saying, like you know, when you. This happens a lot when young players get signed in MLS, right? You start you heard it with like Freddie Adu, right? And it's like the pressure is immediately like on this like young child is going to be the future. But then when you saw like Alphonso Davies, and it's like, yeah, he was young, but look at where he is now. So anything is really possible. So obviously, if Berhalter is seeing you and seeing you progress, obviously is just exciting. So you know, we're big Gianluca Busio fans, man. That's all we're saying, bro. All right. And Gianluca, I'm curious about the bubble in particular. You had mentioned you were obviously playing video games for a month, which can be nice and relaxing. I watched during the lockdown, I had watched MLS had a FIFA tournament, and where they had you know, professional players play with the EMLS player, and I had seen Juan Cousin play as well. I don't know if you watched this, but yo, this dude, I mean, he's good on the pitch, but the dude can play FIFA. He's really good. He's like legit, like a professional. How competitive are you at FIFA? How good are you at FIFA? Do you ever play against him? So what was it like amongst Sporting Kansas City players when it gets, when it comes to FIFA?
Obviously, we're pretty competitive. But actually, we don't really play, I mean, against each other. We play pro clubs a lot. You know, one guy. And so it actually, Cousin wasn't on our team. He's on a different team with his guys from
the pros. Yeah, all right, okay.
All right. He's like, sorry guys, I got my own crew.
So he's playing. And so we like for a good like 3 weeks there, we just played against each other. So obviously the SKC guys, so like me, Jalen, and Cam Duke, Felipe, all of them were on one team, and then we challenged against Cousin's team and his boys from back home. So that got pretty competitive, and that was tough. But I mean,
all right,
I'm pretty good. I'm the striker.
There you go. Do you ever play as yourself?
I do sometimes. Like when we play like career mode, I'll probably sign myself and something. So. But no, I don't.
It must be tough as especially when you are like just a younger player who like grew up with the game, and then you're excited, like, yo, I'm in FIFA, this is crazy. But yo, why is my rating so trash, man?
Put some respect on my pace or something. Yo, give me look at my strength now, EA. What are you doing?
I expected it.
I mean, look, that's enough. It's weird because like for a lot of players, that's a real motivation to grow as a player, to have a better FIFA card.
Your coach is like, man, why'd you put in so much work in the offseason? Like, dude, I was looking at I wanted the player of the year card, you know, like, it's just my thumbs are hurting. I was playing as myself so much. we have a group called Gully Squad. That's like our Patreon. Shouts to them. They're our supporters, right? And they give us some questions, and we got two questions that I, you know, this might cause some heat. This might cause some problems for you. Okay. First, I'm going to ask you, Kyle Richie's, what is Gianluca miss most about Greensboro? Because Kansas City barbecue just don't hit like, and I think it's Stammies. Yeah. So he basically said, what do you miss most? And I know it's our barbecue, which is better. So the floor is yours, Gianluca Busio.
I think I'm gonna say Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
But I think it is. I think North Carolina is more like kind of like vinegarish. It's good, but it's not like it doesn't feel like real barbecue. Like KC, it's, you know, big barbecue that, you know, fill you up within a bite. So I like the KC barbecue more. But back home, I probably miss. I guess
I mean, besides the family, we get it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Either, yeah, I'd probably say I think the pickup games there. We had a lot of fun pickup games at the Sportsplex down in Greensboro. And I was just kind of playing with like old high school friends and my brother's friends. So that was always fun to do. And I got to say, my mom's cooking is
really yeah. Well, then, yeah. So Thorin Svensson said, and this is along with cooking, this isn't mom's cooking. Maybe mom's tired, right? And you guys go out for some food. He asked, which is better, Popeyes or Bojangles? And we've had Bojangles. You think Bojangles off the rip? Oh, God. Gianluca, why are you lying to these people on our show?
Nah,
Bojangles. All right, so you heard it here so first. Gianluca Busio loves dry ass biscuits. You heard it here first.
I've never had Bojangles.
Yeah, you did. We had it at the airport. Remember, we did the layover.
Oh, man. Then it must have been not that memorable, bro. I don't tell you.
That popping.
Nah.
So, because you said Bojangles, that makes me think Greensboro Barbecue Stavies is better than Greens Creek. Although I prefer whole hog. I'm Cuban. We just eat pork at every chance we get. So I'm more of a whole hog guy. But all right, good. I got to ask the two food questions. I feel good about myself.
Jim Manolius of Ghost Squad also. He asked this, and I know I've seen the ladies of the call-up, Jillian Sakovitz and Susanna Collins, they're always talking about you. And really, like, I think they want to adopt you. I think that's really because he says, does Gianluca know how much Susanna Collins and is how much they love you? Are you just aware of what they're putting out into the world, all this Gianluca positivity?
The start of the Gianluca Busio fan club is right there at the call-up.
I know it. Me and Suzanne are pretty close. We have she's my best friend back in Greensboro. So she knew me before I really knew who she was. She was watching me play soccer when I was like, you know, 8 and 9 playing with my best friend, and she was on the sidelines watching me. So I didn't really know about that until a couple of years ago and found out that, you know, when I met her one time, she was telling me about my friend and stuff.
Yeah, that's
that,
awesome.
Their cousin. So, so obviously we're pretty close now just because, you know, we have that connection and, you know.
Yeah. One thing I also really love about you and your family, your mom, seeing her at games, I forgot what, there was a clip I think that was being shared around, but your mom is like so supportive and really, really cool. And whenever she's at games, it's just like the love is like just really, really present, and the support. What did she mean for your development as a soccer player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously she meant pretty much everything from, you know, taking me to games to paying for me to play soccer is that's just the basics, and it's pretty special to me. And, you know, she supported me through everything while she was, you know, doing her own thing, getting a job and taking care of two other kids. She was still, you know, making me, they're supporting my dreams, and, you know, she was supportive of everything. You know, she, whatever I wanted to do, you know, I played other sports and gave up on soccer for a couple years. And, you know, she supported me through whatever sport. And then eventually when I chose soccer, then she was, you know, right there to push me. And when I told her that, you know, I wanted to move to Kansas and, you know, all the decisions I have to make on my own, she didn't, you know, knock me down. She didn't, you know, tell me what she wanted. She asked if I wanted it, and she, you know, was on the first flight to Kansas with me. So I gotta play a lot of, you know,
part of it is beautiful, and then part of it when you were like, oh, I'm gonna go to Kansas, he's like, all right, please finally get out.
Maybe this house will smell normal again, these teenagers in here. That's one, because you probably ate a lot at that point too, just as a teenager. It's like, that's half a meal less I gotta cook. There won't be Bojangles bags everywhere.
Thank you to Gianluca Busio of Sporting Kansas City for joining us. Sporting Kansas City currently in first place in the Western Conference. Do not forget. And they will be returning on Friday, August 21st, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, playing against Minnesota United. So
not 9:30 in the morning, which is nice.
Correct. A little better. So Gianluca, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Just thank you guys for having me again. It was good talking to you guys again. And thank you to everybody who's listening or watching or however you're doing it. And, hopefully you guys can watch the season this year. And hopefully it can, you know, provide some something to watch while you're at home sometime. and everybody stay safe. And, you know,
all right, dude, thank you so much. All right, so make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Follow at Fubo Sports as well on every social media platform. And make sure you to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. So let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Gianluca Busio, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!